Ezekiel chapter 2 is where we're going to be, and I'd like to read the first few verses, if I may. Actually, we'll just read the entire chapter, Ezekiel chapter 2. It says, "And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and he set me upon my feet, and I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee. And thou dost not, then thou dost dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, and whether they will hear, whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious." You know, the Lord repeats himself there. I think he's trying to drive home a point. "But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was spread, was therein, and was spread before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe." And then chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak into the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll." When we come to the beginning of the book of Ezekiel, we find Israel in a very peculiar state. We find Israel in a state in which God did not intend them to be, but by their own rebellion and their own desires, they chose to live a life that was contrary to the will of God. When you come to Israel at this time, you find them in captivity. You find them in bondage. They're in bondage to their own sin. Sin always brings captivity. When you find Israel in Ezekiel's day, you find them also in being a land of confusion. In Ezekiel chapter 22, the prophet said, "Thus saith the Lord, when the Lord hath not spoken." There's a lot of confusion as far as to what it was truth. So understand, when you look around Israel in Ezekiel's day, as God calls Ezekiel, you have a land that is in captivity, a land that is living in sin, a land that has confusion, and you also find that it was a land that was filled with cowardice. A land that desperately needed to hear God's message, and yet no one wanted to stand. That's also found in Ezekiel 22. "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, but I found none." And basically what you see in Israel is you see here is a great nation that is in need. A nation that is in need of a moral compass. A nation that is in need of direction. A nation that is in need of escape from the guilt and the bondage of sin. And so God is going to raise up a man by the name of Ezekiel to go and thunder his voice like a trumpet, so that he can tell Israel what they need to hear in the time of need. Now, I want to make something very clear. The United States is not Israel. But I dare say that I think the United States, and the truth is other countries that are represented in here, I think we could probably say it of the entire world. We look at it today. We live in a land of captivity, more people in bondage to sin than ever before. We live in a land of confusion where we can watch people pray in a synod and say blasphemous things, and yet people think it's truth just because a preacher says it. There's a lot of people today that say, "Thus saith the Lord," when the Lord hath not spoken. We live in a day and time where there's a lot of cowardice. And what I mean by that, if there's ever a day that our country, whether it's America or wherever you're from, if there's ever a day in which they need to hear the truth, it is now. But sometimes it just seems as if fewer are willing to do so. You know, I'd like to propose to you that just as there was an urgency in Ezekiel's day, let me tell you, there is an urgency in 2021 for God to raise up people like He did Ezekiel of old who will proclaim the truth. And I believe that there are people in this room, I hope all of you will purpose to take the advice and the instruction that Ezekiel did many years ago. You know, I'm not an alarmist. And I realize that in the last few weeks, a lot of things have happened in our country. One of the things that really helps me keep me in perspective sometimes, you know, you sort of get overloaded and overwhelmed, is history. I'll be quite honest. When I read U.S. history and I see some of the brawls that took place, I look at this and I'm like, well, I mean, this is nothing to wink at, but man alive, I mean, there were some pretty bad things that happened back in the year 1800 at the very founding of this country. And history helps keep me in perspective, but not only U.S. history, biblical history keeps me in perspective. I'll tell you why. A country can be a mess, and the very same things that God told Ezekiel that were needed in his day are needed today. The Bible's a timeless book. I don't want you to watch the news and leave this place with hopelessness and despair and negativity and fatalism. If you watch the news and you see what's happening, even in your brief lifetime, you'll come to that conclusion. Better off for you to read the Bible and leave here with firmness and direction and conviction and hope. And I believe back in Ezekiel's day, God said, Ezekiel, we need these things. Listen, you're going to go to this place that desperately needs to hear from me. And you take these three things and you let them be true in your life and you make a difference for me in the day in which you live. And these three same things that we need today will make a difference if we'll leave here with a resolve for them to be in our hearts and lives. Now, I believe, first of all, Ezekiel heard from the Lord this message. Number one, we need the Bible. He's going to send Ezekiel to Israel. And he tells Israel, or tells Ezekiel rather, in verse 1, he says, and I will speak unto thee. And then in verse number 3, he tells him that he's going to go to a rebellious house. And then in verse number 4, he says, they're stiff-hearted. But at the end of verse 4, he said, thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord. You know what Israel needed to hear while they were in captivity and while they were in bondage and while they were filled with cowardice and confusion? They needed to hear the truth. Thus saith the Lord. You know, one of my greatest dangers sometimes that I feel for this place is, you know, you hear the Bible taught, you hear it preached, and you fail to understand that there's a world out there that, listen, they don't know the Word of God. Some of them don't care about the Word of God, and it needs to be especially precious in your own heart right now, or you're going to be shaken. Do you know that there have been people that sit where you sit right now? They sat where you sit. And their hearts have been shaken from the Word of God. I'll give you a for instance. I was talking to a young man one time. I watched him grow up as a junior high and a high schooler. I watched him go up through Christian college. He sat in chapel services. He was involved in missions trips. And yet after graduation, his heart was shaken and his heart was stirred, eventually to the point where he would make an announcement that he was an atheist. And I remember having a conversation with him. And in that conversation, I asked him, I said, let me ask you a question. We've known each other for years, and you know that I get my values from the Bible. I try to get them from the Word of God. Whatever God says, that's what I want to be performed in my life. What is right? What is wrong? I judge it off of what God wants, what God says is right and wrong. And he said to me in response, he said, listen, you believe an archaic book that was written by 40 human authors over a period of 1600 years that's filled with contradictions. And then beyond that, I thought, well, OK, well, it's obvious, you know, his attitude about the Bible is totally different now. And so I asked him a question. I said, all right. I said, you know, you say that. I've learned to try to be civil in those situations, not take it personal. And I said, well, you tell me, since this is where I get my values and it's archaic and outdated, let me ask you a question. Where do you get yours now? You know, I've learned it's OK to be a little bit on the offensive sometimes. It takes a season to learn that. I imagine if I was a freshman in college, I would have just been like, boo, 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 boo. I would have been stunned. But I am learning along the way. And I said, where do you get your values? And he stuttered and stammered for about 2 minutes. Well, you know, man has a million and one opinions. It's who you ask. There's no certainty. There's no absolute. But young people, I'm telling you, there's a world out there that wants to eat you alive. They want to shake your confidence in the Bible. And I'm here to tell you, listen, this book, just as Ezekiel was to go to Israel and say, thus saith the Lord, God wants you to do that in 2021. It is still the answer. It is still what you need. Now, I just read an article the other day. I passed it to Brother Spencer. It's written by a liberal rag that I'm not even going to do it justice to mention which one it was. But they were attacking Christian textbooks like Abeka and Bob Jones Press. And in that attack, it was basically saying, you know what, if you believe in creationism and such, you're a caveman. This is not scientific fact. Listen, now I'm not here to drag politics into this. I don't care whether you're blue, red, green, orange, or yellow. But listen to me, young people. You're going to see in the next few days, in the next few weeks, in the next few months, very well, I believe you'll see an unprecedented attack against the principles found in this book. And I've just made up my mind. Instead of giving a political slogan, I would just be well served to just say, thus saith the Lord. You put your flag in the ground there. You get behind human movements. They are flawed. But let me tell you, if it's legislation, regardless of what party it's approved by, and it fails to make distinctions that God makes in the Bible, or it takes the structure that God has put in the family, and it tears it apart, listen to me, do not be ashamed to say, thus saith the Lord. You know, usually there's three kinds of people when it comes to hearing the Bible. One group is this, those who don't want to hear it and aren't going to do it. There's some, you're just going to say, this is what the Bible says, and they say, I don't care. You talk to enough people about Jesus and you'll find that quickly. So don't let your feelings be too hurt, because that's always been the case. And then you have some, they hear it, but they don't do it. Unfortunately, that's where a lot of us live. From time to time, we hear it, but we don't do it. And then you have those that hear it and do it. And Jesus said those are blessed. Ezekiel, you live in a rough day. What do you need? God said, you go to them and you say, thus saith the Lord. You let the circumstances around you strengthen your faith and push you to a greater faith rather than shrinking away from it and beginning to wonder, is that the answer? Because I'm telling you, there's a boldness that's increasing in society today to press back on people that say the Word of God is true and just and pure and what we need in our day and time. That's not the time to back off. That's the time to dig your heels in. I believe Ezekiel would say, hey, in times like these, we need the Bible. He said, Ezekiel, you go to them and you say, thus saith the Lord. But the next thing that I want you to see is that not only do we need the Bible, but we need a boldness. I'm going to tell you, when God draws this job description out for Ezekiel, it's not too flattering. Some of you are seniors. You're like, boy, I want to know what my ministry is going to be. And boy, it'd kill you if you sat down after graduation, you talked to the pastor. He's hired you as youth pastor. And he said, now, I just want you to know something. These young people in my church, they don't like to go to church. As a matter of fact, whatever you say, they're going to do just the opposite, just to spite you. And if you think that's not bad enough, every parent's going to bite you in the back. Every one of them's going to come to you and say, not my Johnny. You're the problem, not him. Boy, I'll tell you, if you heard that from the pastor after you'd signed on the dotted line, you'd be like, you know, can we pray about this a little more? Let me tell you the world that Ezekiel was about to enter into. Verse number 3, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed unto me, even unto this very day. Listen, we're not just talking about one generation of rebellion, multiple generations of rebellion. You know, usually the longer something goes, the more established it is. I mean, you know, he says, well, this generation's rebelled. Oh, it wasn't just them. It was the previous one, too, and maybe even the one before that. A deep-seated rebellion. Verse 4. Listen to this just description. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. And then these wonderful words, I do send thee unto them. Stiff-hearted. Verse number 5, and they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, parentheses, for they are a rebellious house. I mean, is that really the people you want to minister to? You know, we get in our little bubbles and we say, man, I want to be in utopia. Well, listen, you're not in utopia. Get over that. And I'm telling you, we live in a world that can be hostile to the gospel. And I'm telling you, a world that looks at, I mean, stiff-hearted and rebellious. And sometimes we let the disposition of the people we're supposed to give the message to dictate whether or not we give it. Well, I would talk to him, but he's not going to listen anyway. I'd be careful about making that a judge as to whether or not you should say something. Because here the Bible says, for at least they shall know there's been a prophet among them. I'm telling you, there's a lot of doorsteps you'll go to that don't want to hear what you have. But if nothing else, they will have heard the truth. But you know what that requires? It requires some backbone. And it requires some boldness. Verse 6, and thou, son of man, be not afraid of them. Neither be afraid of their words. You know what I've learned through the years? I've learned words can hurt. Whenever this casino thing came up in Kings Mountain, back in 2013, the Catawba Indians wanted to put a casino in near Kings Mountain, near Brother Ogle's part of the neck of the woods. And you know what? I was just really naive. I thought all Christians believed that the love of money is the root of all evil. I really thought that all Christians believed that, you know what, if you bring in an industry that thrives on the love of money, you're going to welcome prostitution and trafficking and poverty and preying on senior citizens, and that's just not a good thing. Well, I found out I was wrong. I mean, I was talking to people in Baptist churches all their lives. They're like, well, what's wrong with that? I'm like, well, do you believe this is true? Well, yeah, that's true. But, and I'm like, there's no but to it. And so that was like one of my first like public foray, you know, enter into the fray a little bit. But I'm telling you, behind the scenes, some of the comments I got from people is like, what are you, a caveman, a Neanderthal? I ran out. I was like, what? Sometimes it was from Christians, but at the time, I mean, it was just people that were lost. They're like, what are you, crazy? You Bible thumper? I mean, on and on it went. It was like my first real education. And then since then, I've had situations where I'm amazed at how harsh and how mean and how cruel people can be. I'm telling you that, right? You better be prepared for it. If you're going to stand, you're going to hear it. The Bible says, don't be afraid of their words. It's easy to be intimidated. You go right now and you talk to somebody about the Lord and they say, oh, you're one of those cults. Don't let that hurt your feelings. It's not true. But don't let that hurt your feelings. You come to somebody and you say, well, you know what? This is the order that the Bible has laid out, and they make fun of you and they mock you. Listen, don't be afraid of their words. Then he continues in verse 6. He said, though briars and thorns be with thee. I remember when I was a kid, I was riding a bicycle one day downhill early in the morning. What I didn't account for is that there's dew on the ground, and brakes are useless when there's dew on the grass. I was pedaling hard down that hill, and when I looked and I saw that hedge row of briars, I said, well, you know what? It's about high time for me to stop. And I pushed my little pedal back, and when I did, the wheel stopped, but nothing else did. I remember laying that bike down on the ground and just skidding right into that briar patch. And I just came out of it just very gingerly, just trying to not impale myself any more than I had already done, and then just start picking them out of my pants, in my legs, in my shirt. I mean, everywhere. It was awful. Now, nobody here would say, boy, that's my idea of fun. I'll tell you what, I love that. I just wanted to ride a bike right through a briar patch. Nobody here says that. But I'm not a prophet or son of a prophet, but let me tell you, if you stand for the truth, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have your share of briars and thorns. You say, well, that's not very encouraging. Well, listen, I know that in and of itself may not be, but listen to me. If you're a faithful proclaimer of God's truth, you stand in a long line of people who have experienced the same thing. Be bold. I'm not talking about be angry. Man alive, you can't even have civil discourse today. I'm going to tell you, when it comes to social media, just as a general rule, you can't have civil discourse. Yes, there are exceptions and it does happen. But I mean, just generally, you probably ought to toss out about 80% of that. You got a whole lost and dying world. Look, I'll tell you, I'm so grieved sometimes. I'm thinking some of my friends that don't know the Lord, they see the way these people are going after it. I'm like, would y'all stop? You know, part of your conversation, when you have one, you better consider who all's in the room. I mean, that's long before social media we did that, did we not? I mean, there's times I talk to my wife and I don't want the kids in the room. And I knew when they were standing right outside the door and say, get out. Get out of the house. Go into the woods. Go to the farthest place. Get out of here. I don't want you to hear this. And there's certain conversations that I have I don't want the whole world to see. When people engage me on social media and try to grab me by the neck, I'll just contact them personally and say, all right, listen, let's just have this conversation here. Because there's so many people that are watching, it's just fruitless. Anyway, that's free. That's off the subject. But it's just one of those things you ought to keep in mind. But you're going to have briars and thorns. I'm telling you, you're going to have people that are going to respond to you in such a way, and it's going to be rough and it's going to be tough. But don't you be dismayed at their looks. Don't be afraid of their words. Don't be afraid of them. You know why he told Ezekiel that? Because Ezekiel's just like you and me. He has feelings too. But I'm learning. I haven't mastered it, but I've learned that when I stand on the truth, listen, I can take confidence in that and I can be bold in the truth. You don't have to be mean and ugly. You don't have to be angry. But you can stand on God's truth and do it without apology, even when they try to shame you. Just because the world looks at you and says, listen, you know what? You're a bigot. You're a hater. You say that there's only two genders. Do you know that's so narrow-minded? A woman came to Lester Roloff years ago and she was upset about something he said. He was an old preacher from Texas. They said, Brother Roloff, she said, Roloff, you are narrow-minded. And he said, well, ma'am, I'm on a narrow way. And then he turned around and walked off. I'm going to tell you, you're going to hear that. People may tell you there should be more than just male and female. You know what you can do? With a smile on your face and with a firmness in your heart, you can say, hey, best as I can see it, God said He created male and female, and that's where it's at. And you're going to be shamed for it. Be bold. Don't be afraid of their words or their looks. What good is it to have the truth if you don't have a boldness to proclaim it? In times like these, we need the Bible. In times like these, we need a boldness. But the last thing I want you to see is in times like these, we need a burden. You know, in my ministry, I want these three things. I want the Bible as a good foundation. I want a boldness. I want to be able to just stomp and say, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord says, and be bold about it. But you know what? I want this third thing, too. I want a burden. And I believe God pictures it at the end of chapter 2 and the beginning of chapter 3. Verse number 9, and when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was thereon. Now, when the Bible talks about a roll, and later on in chapter 3, verse 1, God says, eat this roll. All right, that's not Golden Corral. You're like, eating a roll, that's great, especially with honey butter. All right. Literally what happens is he's given this book. It's a roll of a book. And the Bible tells us in verse 10 that written within and without, it's written on the front. It's written on the back. What's written? Lamentations, mournings, and woe. Chapter 3, verse 1, God tells Ezekiel, I want you to eat that roll. You're sitting in class eating a textbook. You imagine that? But I don't want you to get so caught up in the fact of, oh, that's awful to eat a book. That's horrible. Listen, don't miss what I think was taking place. What was on that book? Lamentations, mourning, and woe, and Ezekiel was to eat it. I believe it was an internalization. It was a sign of the internalization. Ezekiel, you're going to people that are lamenting. You're going to people that are under judgment. You're going to people that are hurting, and they're mourning. Ezekiel, these are the people that you are to help. You've got to see them very clearly. You know what it means to lament? You say, I don't. Well, I give you a homework assignment. Read the book of Lamentations afterwards. The entire book is filled with pain as Jeremiah looks out and sees what sin has done to his people, and it is filled with lamentation. Now, I'm thankful there are little glimmers of hope along the way. Great is thy faithfulness. Thy mercies are new every morning. But when you read that book, it is predominantly filled with heaviness. Mourning, weeping, woe, judgment. Why did God have Ezekiel eat that roll? I believe because Ezekiel, I want you to understand that these people, they are hurting and they are in need, and I want your heart to be burdened for them. You know, it's real easy to get hard. So many things detract us. You know, we're speaking the truth, and before long, we're speaking it in such a way, we're just talking down to everybody, and we just have this air of superiority. You know, one of the most powerful things you can do is to tell somebody the truth with a tear in your eye or a quiver in your voice. When you're talking to somebody and they're destroying their lives and they differ from your biblical worldview and they see you get choked up because you feel where they're at and your heart is touched and with brokenness you come across with that message. You say, how do I get something like that? Well, you know what? You have to just get your eyes off yourself long enough to see other people and just start thinking a little bit. I don't know. Maybe some Saturday you just ought to go to a trailer park and just sit down. And when you see kids in February playing outside barefoot, and you hear a mom or a dad just scream cursings out the door at those kids, and you see that little kid cower and sit down and just begin to cry, maybe you just ought to stop there and say, you know what? Boy, there's some people really hurting in this world. You know, instead of making fun of people because they don't look like you, you're like, well, look at that. You make some wisecrack. Maybe you just ought to stop and think for a moment. You know what? Right now, there's a lot of people, their identity consists of what they do or how they pierce their body. And they're so concerned and consumed with that kind of identity that they have no idea that they're a person for whom Christ died. And let that just crack your heart a little bit. I just think in our Christianity today, listen, we'd be better off to pattern it after the call of Ezekiel than the mobs of our day. So what am I saying this morning? I'm saying this. I believe in the day in which we live, God is raising up a generation and He wants them to have the Bible. He wants them to have a boldness and He wants them to have a burden. That's the only way we're going to make a difference. And I want to encourage you right now to put those three anchors in your soul and come what may this year. Be true to the Word of God. Don't be afraid to stand on the Word of God. And have a burden for other people. Don't you dare look down your long nose and say, well, I'm glad I am not as thou art. You know, somebody else said that in the New Testament. Have a compassion, have a burden. That's what we need in 2021. Let's bow our heads together.